I haven't heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
About the consenting, we can be consenting our family to be accursed because we love our family, because we love our best friend, because we love our children. The word doesn't change just because our children, because we love our children. We have to teach our children, we have to teach our cousins, we have to teach our family, our friends, the right thing. And the right thing is the righteousness of Christ. You know what I'm saying? And the righteousness of Christ is the gospel that he taught. It doesn't change just because we're in 2021. I'm sorry, what? Oh my gosh. Just because we're, that was strange. 2025, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna have to rethink that. What happened in 2021? Can you think of what happened in 2021? Anything significant for you?
Only thing, the COVID, that's the only thing I can think of. We're in the middle of the COVID crisis.
Yeah, because look at how many things changed after COVID. The church changed. The church as we know it. You know what I'm saying? The holiness aspect of it, the righteousness aspect of it, everything changed. Mm-hmm. And maybe, here's the kicker. Maybe it wasn't that the church changed. Maybe is that God used that 2021 incident to expose the things that have been going on for centuries. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, I do think about the attendance now in churches. I can't tell you how many pastors I've talked to, and they talk about their membership has dropped significantly after COVID. And some were able to reset and bounce back. I just need to process that. I hear what you're saying, though.
What have you seen?
I've seen churches that were thriving, and then I go and I attend said church, and you don't see half the people who were going there as you did before. But I do see some churches who just went bounce right back. But the majority, I've been to quite a few churches since COVID, and it looks very different.
Okay, so now as you're saying that, I'm thinking of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, mm-hmm. where God is very clear about the times that we're living in and what exactly, how the face of humanity has been altered. So it's, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. My God. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If we really love God, it should not matter what happens on this earth. We should want to rush to the sanctuary. We should be so connected with God that even in the midst of a storm, we're like, God, I just need you to cover me because I got to get there. God, I just need you to bless, keep me under the shadow of the Almighty, according to Psalm 91, because I'm just trying to get to the altar, because I'm just trying to get into your presence, because I'm just trying to press into you. So really, so my what I was saying, brother, is when I ask you what altered is what altered the church. It's the hearts of men. Remember when Ezekiel was asking God, he was praying, give me a heart of flesh and not of stone. And when God told Ezekiel, when he was using him as a prophet, because originally he was a priest.
The biggest sin, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might. That's right. But guess what? Love your neighbor too, because here's the reality. Your neighbor is just like you. The biggest sin is the judgment of men, vision 2020, but blind within. So you see others, but won't see self and talk about your brother when you ask for help. The philosophy is gossipy. I see hypocrisy because when I fell off the wagon, you were mocking me. Mockery is stopping me from tearing down my walls because you had the gall to tell me I wasn't saved at all. Who are you? A deity? Jesus himself? I want to give you my energy, but there's no energy left because my mama told me to treat people kind, but don't be blind because you'll find a dagger in your spine. The one time I believed I had a special connection, but our connection is dead and there's no resurrection. Now think about what you've done, a brother's in pain. I don't want to place blame, but you tarnish my name. It could never be the same, and that's what's breaking my heart. But if I was smart, I would play the part and never look back. But reading God's word, I know better than that. In fact, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my sibling in Christ. And if I don't forgive and forget, I'm losing my life. So in saying all of this, my love will never end. Because grudges are poison, and obviously the biggest sin.
Him as raise him up and use him as a prophet to to go before the those who were exiled, the Israelites who had been exiled, and to encourage them. And God strictly told them, they're not going to listen to you because they have hearts of what did he say? Oh, there was a specific, what was it? No. He said there was a specific word that he used in Ezekiel that he said, they're not going to listen to you because there's something, but it basically meant that they're shut down. They're hard up because they have a hardened heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you compare that to what's happening now, no matter what is going on in the earth, if we really have hearts of flesh for God, that means that we're repented. That means that we are, what's the word, God? Holy Spirit, help me. We're repented and we are, we're walking in our humility. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're yielded unto the Lord. It should not matter what's happening when God gives us an opportunity to come before him. We should be rushing there. So I question not so much the church and the attendance, my God, I give you the glory, but I question the hearts of the people because certain situations really reveal who you are. It's kind of like for myself as a single mother, you know what I'm saying? I'm cool, calm, and collective unless the opportunity presents itself for me to turn into the mama bear.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that side of me unless there's an opportunity that presents itself to bring that character out of me that's like, hey, yo, not these three. Do you understand what I mean? So situations and circumstances and experiences, my God, I give you the glory, expose the truth of the matter, the truth of our heart, the true state of our heart, the true state of the heart of man is posed when there is pressure or something happens. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, that, and so tying that into COVID, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're saying that the attendance or lack thereof is a result of who we were to begin with.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants, my God, everybody wants to serve God when it's easy. Mm-hmm. But right now, in Pakistan, men, women, and children, innocent, who are the church, they are being persecuted for their belief. They are pinpointing. The media is not talking about this, brother. But because our ministry is international, we have a young evangelist who's leading our church in Pakistan. So he's telling us the truth. Like, yo, I need to get out of here. Literally, like, he has his bags packed at the door. Because at any point in time, they can pinpoint his hometown, which is where our church is. So it's like our hearts, it's easy for us to serve God. It's easy for us to love people when they're lovable. It's easy for us to love God when there's a convenience there. But what about when there's no convenience? What about when here in America, they start talking about, well, you can't love Jesus. Are you still going to go and evangelize? Is your show still going to be the unknown preacher LA? Or is your show going to change? Is the dynamics of your show going to change? Because for sure, they're going to try to shut us down eventually. And we have to make it up in our minds that for God we live and God we die. We got to make it up in our minds that I'm going to serve God to the death. I'm going to serve God even when it's not convenient. I'm going to serve God even when it's not popular. I'm going to serve God even when everybody else has turned their back on him. I'm still going to be, I'm the one person out of everybody else. I remember the story in First or Second Kings when the king, I forgot what the name of the king, but all of the prophets were talking about, yeah, you can go to war. They were all false prophets, but there was like 300 to 500 of them. And still the king was like, yeah, I still kind of don't feel comfortable. Can we have one king? And then, the king was inquiring with the prophets. And then there was another man of God that was like, well, there is one other prophet who was in prison at the time. And the king was like, yeah, but I don't really like him because he never prophesied in my favor. Yeah. But remember that story? Mm-hmm. And then they brought him out of prison. And he I forgot what his name was, but the prophet basically clowned him, and he said, "Well, yeah, well, I could sit up here and lie to you like you're false prophets, but I'm gonna tell you the truth." And he said, "If you return back from this war, then I'm not a real prophet." So he slapped his face and sent him back to prison, and that king never returned back from the war. And so what I'm basically saying is, you know, there was 300 to 500 prophets that were all prophesying in his favor, but they were false. They weren't connected to the source. So we have to make it up in our minds that even when it's not convenient for us to say the truth, to speak the truth, to walk and talk the truth, we have to, are we really in it or are we out? Because the last thing we want is for Jesus Christ to crack this sky and we trying to still people please and try to still be cute. Because we don't want to be persecuted. No, persecution is here. We just don't see it at a magnitude that other continents are facing. But persecution is here. And according to the word of God, it's going to get more intense. So it's something. So little things like, you know, to my original point, 2021. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for prophetically speaking that out and shifting and posing this to our audience. Are you really in this thing? Because if you're really in it, you got to be in it to the death. You got to be in it for eternity. And that means that you got to be willing to lose your life. Just like Jesus laid his life down for you, you got to be willing to lay it down for him. Because if you lay it down for him on earth, the word of God tells us that we've inherited the crown. And this life here is temporary. And we forget because we're so caught up and what looks good for the moment, what's cute, and what type of selfie and boaster, and where we're going to go for vacation and all this other stuff, and that project we're going to do for 3 years and five. But what about the Great Commission? Mm. Are you willing to lose your life for this gospel? Because this gospel is offensive. And the men and women of God back then were willing to lose their lives. And everybody is on that sissy stuff today. We say we love God, but we not really gangsta. We not really about it. You feel me?
Yes. Facts all, and no matter what, I mean, God is still loving all on us, man, and we just don't love him enough to reality of it. And that's a good question that you pose, because it is so easy. It's like I can get caught up. I can and now I'm gonna go back to what we were talking about earlier with the peer pressure. You know, everyone else is swaying left, and it's easy to just go along with them. And when people are ridiculing Christians, making the, because you know what they say, what the holy rollers, and they're making jokes about our faith, are you going to stand up and declare, you know, your faith, your salvation? Are you going to just go along with your pals? So easy. And I say it primarily to younger people, but there are adults who do it too. It just seems like it's probably easier when you're a teenager and you're in high school and your friends like, you're one of those Christian people. You know, are you going to say, yes, I am? That's the question.
I want to say to the young people, there have been this year as a teacher in this jurisdiction, I've been speaking to about 3 or 4 children who are in 4th and 5th grade, especially the 5th graders, because they're about to go to 6th grade. One of the things that they do is they're always talking about, oh, well, they roasting me and they're saying this, or roasting is not a term anymore, but, oh, they're this and they're saying that. And I said, well, is it true? Are you this? Are you a big back? Are you that? Are you ugly? Did you comb your hair? Did you brush your teeth? Okay, so if you know that you did that and you know that you're not this and that, then why do you care? Sometimes you have to be the bigger person. You have to learn. So we have to all learn as a people to stand alone. Because standing alone doesn't mean that you're alone. Standing alone is a perfect opportunity for you to connect with God. Just like David, when he was a shepherd boy, he didn't know, but that time of him being a young boy, it set him up for the greatest triumph of his youth, which was him going against a 9-foot giant. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of this time out in the wilderness fighting lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It enabled him to go again. When armed soldier, when military men were being taunted 40 days and 40 nights, nobody was able to stand up to him. But that young shepherd boy who is in the wilderness by himself day in and day out, God was strengthening him. So I've used, you know, the opportunity of being a teacher to kind of shed light for them and to say, hey, listen, my go-to motto is walk in your truth. You are a child of God. If you know who you are, why do you care about what people are saying to you? Do you believe what they say? No. Well, obviously you do. So to young people, you have to know who you have to have an identity in Christ, and you cannot be ashamed. The Bible tells us that if we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. The last thing we want and need is for Jesus to crack the sky and for him to turn his backs on us because we have not spent time with him, because we're trying to be cool in front of our friends and deny him. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You know what I mean? So, and you're absolutely right. There are adults that will also do that. And because some adults are stuck in their childhood, they're stuck in the traumas of what they used to be. They've never evolved out of those places and spaces, because studies have shown that certain traumas that you experience as a child, see, now we're getting into my profession, right? Certain traumas, it's like you have that trauma and you literally, a part of you gets stuck in that time zone. Yeah. And so in our ministry, we do a lot of, when we do certain deliverances, the Holy Spirit has taught us how to go back to the place where, even before birth, things that have happened before birth and things that have been passed down through the canal of the mother to the child, certain traumas have been passed down to us to where our parents, when they have us, they're dealing with us out of traumas. And we're taking that on. And so then, you know, in those traumas, it's like that child who is innocent then takes on that trauma. And it's a reoccurring cycle. You know what I'm saying? So certain adults have never evolved out of those traumas. Sometimes they don't know how to. You know what I'm saying? And so, which again, like you kept on saying, you said something, brother, that was so amazing. You said that, you know, God is still loving on us. God is very merciful. Is it, you know, it's just like with Noah in the Bible. When we do our research, he built that ark. It took 200 years. It did not take a week or 2 months. God literally was giving humanity two centuries and some change to repent and get it together. That's how merciful God is. We don't know if we're, you know, next year is the next 200 years that God has been calling for us to repent. And then a disaster happens where most of humanity gets wiped out. Hence 2021, my God, I give you the glory, where God is wiping people out because he's already been saying, hey, repent, turn back to me. And then the prophets who have been saying, hey, I'm putting you on alert, the watchmen on the watchtower, hey, something is coming, get ready, something is coming, turn back. We don't know. And God is still out of his mercy. And then when things happen and half of humanity gets wiped out, then people want to say, well, where is God? Well, baby, he's been here all along. But since you too busy doing you and you too busy, according to 2 Timothy, whatever we read, being, you know, lover of self, boasters, braggers, blasphemers, truth breakers. You're so blinded by your sin and your hardened heart. You can't see that God is calling for you to come to him. He wants you. He doesn't need you, but he wants you to be a part of him. But you can't see that because the Leviathan in your eyes has polluted your whole entire being. And so you out here just doing you, but something's coming. 2021, right? Something's coming. 2026, something's coming. 2030, something's coming. And then when that something gets here, a whole lot of people ain't ready. And sadly, it's us. It's not the world, because the word of the Bible is for us. Come on. I don't want to take over the show because you always be trying to claim I be taking over the show.
No, I don't.
Come on, what you got?
No, that's... I'm just in awe every time God puts his hands on this and we just, things pop in your head and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about, wow. Like, what are we going to do about it is one thing that came to me. And then going back to what you were talking about, not maturing and you basically arrested development, right? Your brain hadn't evolved because of trauma or whatever. But then I'm going to tie it into that spiritual growth too. Like, what are we not doing to grow spiritually? And then it goes back to 2021 in the church.
Virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bags stuffed full of grub. These are the things at the Black Farmers Hub. Ooh, ooh. Onions and radishes, turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herbs to hoop cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmer's Hub.
And I thank God for his hands in this, because you were talking about the failure to grow and mature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, and you know, arrested development is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But now I'm gonna go back to the spiritual aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're not growing spiritually. 2021, right? Because mm-hmm. the church is a key part of that growth. So yeah. if you're not in church, you're stagnant. You're an infant in your faith.
Mm.
We're supposed to. So what I say to our listeners now, look at your life and look at 2021 and ask yourselves, have I grown spiritually since 2021?
And
if the answer is no, then the next question is, what are you going to do about it? Yeah.
Drop the mic. That was profound.
Oh,
yeah. God. That was profound. What are you going to do about it? So let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you grown since 2021? And if so, in what way? And if you have grown, where is your next level? What does that look like? And how are you going to get there?
Wow. Wow. So the answer is absolutely. And mm-hmm. I've grown in a lot of ways. Biblically, mm-hmm. really understanding the Bible that much more, and still I have a long way to go. No denying it, but I can honestly say I have grown. The number of churches I've gone and delivered messages on creating this podcast is really a vehicle. It's a ministry that's allowed us to go internationally. To serve communities, to really share the message, and to demonstrate the love of Jesus through our compassion and through our gentle approach to salvation. Because I'm always saying it because I heard it from a wise preacher many years ago. You don't, you know, brush people with your faith. You don't scrub people with your faith. You brush them with it. And so, yeah, we have the Great Commission, right, to spread the gospel. But we do that through compassion. We do that through kindness. And so that's how we represent Jesus. So I'm all about that. Moving forward, I pray God's will. The purpose is for this right here to grow. But I do know there is a calling for me to not just be here, to actually move about and really start going around. The company wasn't named Worldwide Destiny by accident. That was something that the Spirit put on me when I started this, the promotions, the music, the podcast, Worldwide Destiny was the name that was put on me. And I know that was for a reason. So, and I'll just, the other part, the nuts and bolts of it all is how it will look or what will I do. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to meditate and read. And I know he's going to order those steps. So that's kind of a long-winded answer, but.
No, that was good because I posed you with it was three, but then there was like two additional. You said something that was really key, the name of your company. I love the whole global aspect of anything anybody's doing, because Holy Spirit had spoken to me about, because I was saying, you know, the God was saying in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 26, he said that the end won't come until the gospel is being taught all over the world. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, we have time. And then the Holy Spirit said, do we really have time? And I said, well, yeah, we got time, because, you know, we got to go here. He said, but think about the internet. Think about technology.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in rainforests now. You can see them in the background doing exercises, and they got, they're out in a safari somewhere, which means that they have access to the word of God. So really, this gospel, it can be is being reached in places now through the airway. My God, I give you the glory. Through the airways that didn't necessarily that you know, in a very rapid pace, in a way that we didn't see before. Mm. So really, when God says that Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night, for real, we have to really truly be on guard, because we really don't know. You know what I'm saying? And it could be another 3,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
It could be 30 years. It could be 3 months. It can be 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. But I love how you, you know, capitalize on the global aspect of it, because really, me personally, I believe that that is so important to be able to reach the masses for the glory of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And we're approaching that hour and 30 minute mark, my sister. You have any final words or? I hear the silence.
Yeah, it's not the internet this time.
Oh. What is it?
I just want to pray, if I can, very quickly. Absolutely. For our listeners.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, we acknowledge you as the one true and living God. We acknowledge you as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are Jehovah Tzidkenu. Hallelujah. There's nothing that you can't do, God. We acknowledge you as El Roy, the God who sees. We acknowledge you as Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Heaven's armies. God, you are such a wonderful God. You are wonderful in all your ways, but terrible at the same time. You deserve reverence. You deserve our humility. You deserve our love, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every listener, Lord God Jesus, that these words don't fall null and void to the ground. I pray, Lord God, according to your word, where it says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Those who have eyes to see, let them see. I pray that blinders fall off of your people, Lord God, that they may see who you are, that they may embrace you in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I call for a revival amongst the land, personal first, in the name of Jesus, and then on every continent, that there may be a revival, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that men, women, and children all over the world, Lord God, hallelujah, will stand up for the likes of Jesus, that will stand up, hallelujah, for Jesus Christ, that they will not be led by a spirit of fear, that they will not be led by a spirit of timidity, Lord God Jesus, but that they will stand, hallelujah, for the one true and living God. Father, I ask that you would strengthen us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and of course, financially, to continue to do this work. Hallelujah, to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ to the masses. Thank you, Lord God, for the great commission. We thank you, Lord God Jesus, that you are going to use us mightily at a magnitude to do what you tell us to do. And Father, a very special prayer for your people to find their lane. Everybody is not going to be in a pulpit. Everybody is not going to be a singer. Everybody is not going to be an unknown preacher. But Lord God, whatever their lane is, whatever their skill and their talent is, may they be willing to give it back to you and serve you with in spirit and in truth for your glory. And Lord God, we ask these things in the name of your son, Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. And we loved it, you. We love you. And we
We loved it, you.
We loved it, you.
You just said it so confidently.
I know, I meant it. That's how words get changed, man. It's all about the swag behind the word.
Oh, okay. Was that swag or was that? I didn't know.
That was swag.
Okay, Batman. Okay, Batman. Love you too.
We love you. And we love you and we'll continue to love you. See you next time, y'all.
Do you have any last words for the people?
I want to go. You close it out with a prayer. I'm not topping that, man. You talk to God. They heard you and He heard you. So,
amen.
I just appreciate you. This was some good conversation.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes. See y'all when we see ya.
Peace.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.